Paradise to Pawpaw to Perry. This is the Michigan Talk Network.
Welcome back to it on this Wednesday as we continue on down the road. Another delay now in the battle over ending the prevailing wage law here in Michigan. This is a battle being played out in many places these days across the country. But here in Michigan, a unique approach to ending prevailing wage was undertaken. Jeff Wiggins here, the state director of the Associated Builders and Contractors. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So another delay here in the battle over ending prevailing wage here in Michigan because it was about gathering signatures. Now, for anybody who hasn't heard this part, real quickly, catch us up on how this was done that's different than most ways that laws become law in Michigan.
Yeah, so the Constitution has a provision that allows for citizen-initiated legislation. So and in this case, a group protecting Michigan taxpayers organized and collected signatures. About 252,000 and change are necessary. They collected almost 400,000. Turned those signatures into the Secretary of State, got them validated. Secretary of State needs to go to the Board of Canvassers then to get it certified. And once you do that, you get to go to the legislature, and a simple majority vote in the House and Senate makes it law without the signature of the governor.
So basically, the people act as the chief executive in that scenario, if you will.
Essentially, yes.
All right, so the people send a bill to the legislature. If the legislature says yes by a simple majority, 51 to 49 or whatever it is, and then it goes on. Okay, so then what happened? The signatures were put together. You support this effort. Then what happens?
So the Bureau of Elections, under the Secretary of State, recommended to the Board of Canvassers, they said, with 100% certainty, these guys have the signatures. We recommend that you certify this petition and send it to the legislature. Well, the two Democrats that sit on the Board of Canvassers decided differently, which was very outside of custom for the Board of Canvassers, and they decided to play a little politics with it. And so we had to go to the Court of Appeals to appeal their decision to stall, and the Court of Appeals last Friday came down in our favor, 3-0. Unanimous decision written by a Granholm appointee saying that the opponents on the other side of this have no argument here. The board has to certify these petitions. But, of course, in our legal system, there is one more step of appeal, and that is the Michigan Supreme Court. And yesterday, the opponents were able to get a stay from the Supreme Court on the Court of Appeals order. So, once again, we are in a bit of a holding pattern.
So, all right, so it goes to the Supreme Court now. People I spoke with think that it won't be there very long, think that they'll come back fairly quickly and again side with the appeals court. Now, so that will happen. For people that don't understand and haven't heard this portion of the conversation, and again, and just for educational purposes only, what is prevailing wage? And just to be clear about this, this only affects prevailing wage laws in Michigan. Federal laws like Davis-Bacon, that legislation oversees federal contracts. This will have no impact on federal contracts, correct?
That is correct, Steve. So what the prevailing wage law is in Michigan is essentially that a law that says the union negotiated wage at a local level is what governs on state government projects. Any project that is funded by state government or gets any funds from state government, the union negotiated wage rate is what governs for the trade on that particular
project. So that sounds a little murky to me. A union negotiated wage where? I mean, but my point being is this, if you're in the UP somewhere, you know, and you're in a small or any smaller rural county and there's no union there, then a union wage negotiated where?
It's whatever the, in some of those cases, I believe it's the closest, wherever that area pulls its union work from is normally where, what the wage that governs. So, for example, down in Southeast Michigan, if you're an electrician, I believe it would be the local IBEW 58. Their wage rate governs anything done in that particular area of the state. And the problem with that is only 15% of the construction workforce is union affiliated. So you have 15% of the workforce mandating what the other 85% have to pay on these projects, and they're negotiated behind closed doors. The taxpayers don't have a say. Elected officials don't have a say.
So it opponents
completely flies in the face of everything. That's the free market.
And Jeff Wiggins here is the state director of the Associated Builders and Contractors here of Michigan. The opponents say quite clearly that your efforts here will basically take money out of the pockets of good, hardworking Michigan residents, because by taking this back, wages will be lowered in places that are non-union job sites, and therefore people will get pinched by your efforts here. And you say?
I say that's completely false. Studies done, most recent, well, probably the best case, and best example is down in Ohio. They repealed prevailing wage on their school, on all school construction. And they saved the taxpayers a bunch of money. They saw no decline in wages. They saw no decline in jobs. And they saw no decline in quality. What you're really going to have is the unions will no longer have their work structure, their bureaucracy enforced on everybody else on these public construction projects, and that's really what they're upset about.
So you think that the workers will still be able to make a good living then, despite what happens here?
Absolutely. And currently, right now, you have non-union contractors paying in some cases at or above the prevailing wage. It just because of how booming the construction industry is right now.
Yeah, the demand is high, that's for sure.
But at the end of the day, if you're in a union and prevailing wage is repealed, you've already negotiated that wage. So you're going to get paid that regardless of whether you're doing a prevailing wage project or not. So that it's a complete fallacy that people are going to, the wages are going to go down simply because we repeal this law. If anything, you're going to see much more competition and the quality of construction is going to go up.
Very short here. How quickly would you expect the Supreme Court to issue a decision?
Well, we saw the Court of Appeals turn it around in less than a week. So I think the Supreme Court can do better than that. So.
All right. Jeff Wiggins, thank you for the input today. Jeff Wiggins, State Director of the Associated Builders and Contractors. Thank you, Jeff. We'll find out when we get a conclusion to all of this, where we go next. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Wednesday. We'll be right back.